We are here to help you set your lineups for week three. Welcome in to the Fantasy Finessers podcast. I am Kunk Kapoor, joined as always by Maddie Wasserman. Today on the show, we're going to be breaking down the week three slate of games, give you start and sits, booms and busts. Maddie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We are ready here for week three. First 2 weeks, we mentioned on last week's episode, a lot of disappointing performances for running backs. So let's break down who's going to bounce back here in week three.
Yep, we're just going to get right into the slate. Of course, last night, we're recording this Friday morning, the Steelers fell to the Browns 29-17. Not really that much to talk about for this game. Mara Cooper put together a solid fantasy performance. David Njoku actually broke out for fantasy. Those are guys I think you're going to want to have in your lineup going forward. And for the Steelers, Mitch Trubisky's obviously a nothing burger for fantasy, and Najee Harris busted once again. We're going to break down that game in full next week when we break down the entire week three slate of games. But let's just go right into it with the first game of the slate. And that is a huge matchup here against two high-powered offenses, Bills at Dolphins. Now, the Bills are favored by many points. I think they're favored by 6 on the road here, which may be a little disrespectful to Tua Tagovailoa and this high-powered Dolphins offense that just came back and defeated the Ravens. For the Bills, you're starting all the wide receiver options. If Gabe Davis is healthy, you're starting him. Stephon Diggs, you're starting, of course, Josh Allen. And if you draft the Dawson Knox, you're probably starting him. But there's waiver wire options I like above Dawson Knox. For the Dolphins, top two wide receivers in your lineup, Mike Gesicki in your lineup. Now, the question here for me, do you start Tua Tagovailoa this week?
Yes, but with limited expectations is kind of, I think, the best way to put it. I mean, when you look at his last 2 weeks, he had 50 pass attempts a week ago. He converted, obviously, 36 of those. He had 469 yards. Do I think he's going to eclipse 469 yards again this season? No. So with expectations that this is probably closer to the guy that we still thought Tua was going to be, it's obviously a much tougher matchup this week. So I don't really think it's reasonable to expect the same type of production from Tua. But if I think you can start him knowing that there's clearly been an emphasis to attack downfield more than we really thought Tua was capable of. Obviously, that plays in the personnel you have with Hill and Waddle. But still, Tua showed a willingness to do that as we saw in that fourth quarter against Baltimore. So I think, yeah, you can expect something around the 20-point neighborhood. 38 points, probably never again this season. But something like that, I think, is a realistic expectation that there can be some level of optimism to starting him.
Yeah, I mean, these are two teams that obviously small sample size, but Buffalo first in points scored per game with 36, Miami fourth with 31. And of course, the defenses here, there's a vast, vast difference. Buffalo has given up only 8.5 points per game. They've completely dominated Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans last week. And then, of course, dominated Matt Stafford and the Rams in week one on Thursday Night Football. So I think you probably picked up Tua off waivers in a normal 12-team, one quarterback league. You probably picked him up. And there's a lot of guys that you drafted inside the top 12. I would start him over, even with this tough matchup. I mean, Tom Brady, for sure, he's in my lineup over. Russell Wilson, perhaps, he's in my lineup over. There's a lot of these top guys that I would like to have. Kirk Cousins and Tua, I kind of go back and forth on, because we're going to talk about the Kirk Cousins matchup. He's playing the Lions, which is not a good defense. But if you have Tua and you have, like, I don't know, a Derek Carr, one of these rushing quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, of course, Jalen Hurts, I would want to start over. But as we get later into the season, Miami's schedule gets a little bit easier, and they don't have to play the Bills. I think we're going to be happy with what we get from Tua going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're someone that we talked about this, if you're in a Trey Lance or someone like that, you need a new quarterback, this is the guy. You're not taking him over the established starters, but he does provide a lot more fantasy relevance than we probably thought going into the season.
Right, and I'm going to just give you the update on Gabe Davis's status of the Buffalo Bills. He's limited in practice with that ankle injury on limited on Thursday with that ankle injury. Consecutive days of limited practice. Looking to return, no true updates there on his status. If he notches a full practice today, then he'll probably get in the game. And for the running backs in this matchup, honestly, Devin Singletary is someone we kind of were high on coming into the season, and he just hasn't gotten the touches. 8 carries in week one, 6 carries in week two, and he's looked explosive with the ball. I mean, 6 yards per carry in week one, has had a couple of nice gains on catches. But other than that, I think you got to sit him if he's not getting the carries.
I mean, the whole value of Singletary, as we mentioned, is in volume. And he hasn't gotten the volume so far this season. That's what he got at the end of last season, is that if he could take over as the guy, then there is, of course, value in that if he's getting the 15 carries a game that he got towards the end of the season. But with the combination of Zach Moss not only making the team, but taking a few carries a game, James Cook working on some passing downs, all of that plays into the fact that he's really not a reliable player this week.
Yeah, other options in this Bills backfield. James Cook actually led the backfield in touches with 11 carries, 53 yards last week. Of course, you're not starting him. He's a speculative add on your roster.
At best.
Exactly. And for the Miami backfield, there is some intrigue here. Chase Edmonds over Raheem Mostert. I'm sitting both of them. I don't really want to start Mostert. He had a couple catches. Looked pretty solid. Broke off a few decent runs. But, of course, it was Chase Edmonds who broke off the biggest run at the end of that game. I don't really want either of these guys. This is probably going to be a pass-first game for fantasy. And, you know, I think the Dolphins put on a show last week, but also the Ravens defense kind of fell apart. Like, it was a product of the Ravens defense.
The running backs are interesting to me. I'm in one of my leagues going to be starting Chase Edmonds this week. Now, I don't think it's a top option, but it's pretty unpredictable between Edmonds and Mostert who's going to get the bulk of the work. You look at Edmonds, he only got 5 carries last week. And that compares to Raheem Mostert, who last week had 11 carries. The previous week, that flipped. So clearly not quite predictable yet. Also, game script probably plays somewhat of a factor into that as well. But I think that either of them you can start not feeling great about, but they're reasonable, like, low-end flex plays, I think.
Well, Mostert opened the game as the starter last week. So it may not have been a game script thing. May have just been Mike McDaniel liked what he saw from Mostert in practice, whatever. That's just something that we can't
I think we need a couple more weeks of information, given this is a brand new timeshare. We need a couple more weeks of information, I think, before we can really feel confident knowing how McDaniel plans to implement the Miami backfield.
Right. And also, we mentioned this last week, but opening the game as a starter was opening the game with a 7-point deficit because Devin Duvernay took the opening kickoff 100 yards to the house.
Yes.
For the Ravens. Next matchup on the slate here is actually Lions-Vikings. I just talked about Kirk Cousins. Lions offense has been very, very solid, perhaps surprisingly to some people. Not for me, of course. I've been a Lions truther all the time. Averaging over 35 points per game. You're starting your key Lions weapons, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and DeAndre Swift, of course. Facing a Vikings defense that just got torn apart by Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. My guy, Jalen Hurts. What do you think about Jamal Williams here? Do you think he's kind of a desperation flex play, hoping he falls into the end zone? He got a few more carries than usual last week because of Swift's ankle injury. Swift has been ramping up in practice to get a full workload. I think Jamal Williams, touchdown or bust flex for me.
I don't think Jamal Williams is a person. If you are DeAndre Swift manager, you better have Williams on your team because the Swift's one Achilles heel that we continue to see is that Swift is really injury prone, and he keeps pretty much every season dating back to college. He's suffered injuries. Jamal Williams here, I don't think you could really play him while Swift's in the lineup unless you're hoping for like a Swift injury maybe, but I mean, that's an extraordinarily risky proposition. So no, I don't think Williams is startable, but everyone else on this Lions team, obviously St. Brown, we talked about Hawkinson, startable. How about DJ Chark, though? Are we feeling any potential for him? I mean, I know he didn't really have much going for him last week. He was targeted 4 times. He didn't get a catch. But he did have 15 the week before on 8 targets. Is Chark a guy that maybe you're not starting this week, but is he a fantasy-relevant player to you?
I don't think so. I think on any given week, it's going to be Chark or Josh Reynolds finding the end zone in the complimentary role. Reynolds was blanked in week 1, 1 catch, 28 yards. Caught a touchdown in week 2. Chark was blanked in week 2, caught a touchdown in week 1. These are guys that aren't really fantasy relevant for me. You're going to have to pick and choose or use your future reading skills to see who's going to score of that wide receiver tandem that's operating, of course, well behind Amon-Ra St. Brown.
St. Brown's getting so many targets.
Yeah,
too.
And I just don't see any value here with Chark. I don't want to start him. I think it's a dart throw in DFS, perhaps, if you think he's going to get back on after a zero-catch performance. Other than that, I mean, Hawkinson, of course, you invested high draft capital and you're still starting him. I believe he put up a solid performance last week, if not spectacular. Let's see. Yeah, actually, no, not really solid at all. 3 catches for 26 yards. So he's still in your lineup as a tight end, putting in limited practice, but he should be on the field. For the Vikings, I think Dalvin Cook, this is his get-right game. Lions defense got eviscerated by the Eagles in week 1 and held Antonio Gibson to just over 2 yards a carry in week 2, but of course gave up a rushing touchdown to Gibson. So I think this could be a Dalvin Cook explosion here this week.
I agree. I mean, I think we've been waiting for that. We mentioned that there's very few top running backs that have really done much so far this season. When you look at who the top running backs have been, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a top 5 running back in the first 2 weeks, despite having single-digit carries both games. It's not like it's been pretty slim pickings at the top. And you would say like Jonathan Taylor almost had such a disappointing week last week, and he's still RB7 on the season. That's because there has not been a lot of top running back production. Dalvin Cook, obviously a part of that, but the signs are still there for Cook to get better work share, only because he got 20 carries in week one. Obviously, last week was disappointing, but also you got to think of the game script. What was encouraging for him last week was getting 6 targets and getting 4 receptions, meaning that in a week where they are going to ultimately get more carries when they aren't getting blown out like they were a week ago, that's when, if he can continue that receiving production, in addition to getting more rushing opportunities and maybe getting more work on the goal line, that's what you want to see from Cook. I think it still is encouraging for him the start of the season, even if the numbers haven't quite been there, that he ultimately is going to pick it up.
Yeah, I think Dalvin Cook, he's clearly in your lineup. I think this is a chance for him to get back and earn that draft pedigree that you picked probably, what, middle of the first round of fantasy drafts. Of course, Justin Jefferson's in your lineup. He had a down week by his standards, only 10 fantasy points. I think he's going to get right back on that horse this week. What do you think about Kirk Cousins here? Monday night, Kirk Cousins reared his ugly head for the Vikings on Monday Night Football against the Eagles, but this is a pretty good matchup. Lions defense just gave up 3 touchdown passes to Carson Wentz. They're giving up 5 rushing touchdowns for 2 weeks, so maybe this is a Dalvin Cook game, but I see Kirk Cousins putting together 20 to 25 point fantasy showing this week.
I mean, he was so bad last week. He's 27 for 46, and there were some ugly throws, the eye test, some bad interceptions, bad throws like in the red zone. It was a pretty ugly week for him. But yeah, I think that he is startable. If you were talking about two guys we were just talking about a minute ago, this week, would you be starting Kirk Cousins or would you be starting Tua?
Oof. I think I got to go with the upside of Tua over Kirk.
Really? I would say the upside's with Kirk.
Well, the thing about this Buffalo defense is that they were swarming both quarterbacks in weeks 1 and 2, and Stafford couldn't escape, Ryan Tannehill couldn't escape. I feel like if Tua can buy himself just a few extra seconds in the pocket, use a little bit of mobility that Ryan Tannehill and Matt Stafford don't have, and he's shown to have some mobility in his young career, I think escape the blitz just for a few extra seconds and then find his top options downfield, I think he can be more successful in this game than the other quarterbacks have been, because he's a completely different quarterback than Stafford and Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the play style isn't too similar, but I think in such a pass-heavy offense as it's proven to be, I think Kirk's getting a lot more work than he's going to have gotten in the past few years under the Mike Zimmer, Gary Kubiak-type regime. I think this is ultimately pretty encouraging for him, that he's getting a lot more work. Obviously, they're targeting downfield Jefferson, Thielen. They're doing a lot of work. Even Irv Smith, you know, they're doing some good stuff there. And that's really what you wanted to see. So I'm ultimately encouraged by Kirk, and I think he is a high upside play this week. I'd put him in my lineup.
All right, and last option in this Vikings offense is Adam Thielen. I'd say he's a borderline start for me this week.
Yeah.
But I like all of the rookie wide receivers over him. Chris Olave, Drake London, Garrett Wilson, even Treylon Burks I like over him. I think Treylon
Burks over Thielen.
I think Treylon Burks could be primed for a breakout game. Snap share for Burks has steadily ticked up. We'll get to him when we talk about the Titans. But Adam Thielen is just a boring start. You're hoping for, you know, 5 catches, 55 yards, maybe a touchdown for Thielen. And then the floor, like we saw in week 1, is 1 catch. You know, like, I think Thielen is one of those boring plays that if you have him and there's no one else that you got in your lineup, then you got to throw one, but you're not going to be too happy about it.
No, he should be on your bench for the most part, I would say, this week. It's fair.
And next matchup on the slate, another 1 p.m. game, Baltimore at New England Patriots. Baltimore is on the road in this one. Of course, you're starting Lamar Jackson, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews. Lamar was limited in practice, but he should be good to go. He told reporters he should be. We're starting all 3 of those guys.
Can we just take stock for 1 second of Bateman here? Because
Maddie's guy, Rashad Bateman. Let's clarify.
I came in the season, big Bateman guy. I was as high in Bateman as anyone. I loved him from his time at Minnesota. I've been a big Bateman guy for years. But the ultimate fantasy production has been 20 points last week, 14 the week before. But are we concerned about Bateman having peaked based on what these numbers actually are? He has had one huge play in each of these 2 games. The huge play last week against Miami, having gone for a touchdown. So, I mean, Is there a concern about the fact that he's only gotten 12 targets between these two games, that he's been thriving on these big plays? Because the argument for Bateman is he's going to get a high target share in this offense, being the clear number one wide receiver, and that Lamar can target him sort of in the short to intermediate game. And we haven't really seen that so much this year. So while I do agree, you have to start him this week. I have him on 3 of my 5 teams, and I will be starting him. He's my guy. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, there is reason to be concerned. Like you said, 12 targets. He had a huge first half, did not record a catch in the second half for the Ravens in a game where they, you know, was competitive in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It turned into the Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews show late in that game. Wanted to get those easy yards.
Because he's really the number one receiver.
Yeah, we've known that Mark Andrews is the number one receiver. But Bateman, I mean, the ability to break off big plays is just incredible. And the fact that he's hit on two of them in the past 2 weeks just proves that ability is there. And, I mean, wide receiver 18 in PPR so far this year. I mean, he's not a wide receiver, a high-end wide receiver too for me. I feel like he's probably around the 20 to 25 range at the position. And I think that's a solid weekly start until we see. I mean, 12 targets through two games isn't horrible. That's a wide receiver too for you. I mean, Mark Andrews is up at 20 targets. So, I'm starting Rashad Bateman. The issue here comes with Devin Duvernay. Do you start Duvernay after a disappointing last week when he only had 2 targets, but of course he returned the kickoff for a touchdown? I think he's probably a desperation dart throw at this point.
I mean, he got 2 targets, you said. Yeah. He got 4 targets the week before. Now Duvernay, now the only 2 startable people in this Ravens offense outside of Lamar is Andrews and Bateman. We could talk about J.K. Dobbins for a second, who may be on the return this week. But even if Dobbins returns, there's just no way you can play him, because, like, I really think this could be a Cam Akers week 1 type situation here where he gets, like, 3 carries. I mean, it already seems questionable that he looked like he was practicing fully last week and then they held him out of the game. So it's clear there's still some concerns with him. So until further notice, I would not start Dobbins.
No, you want to see it on the field before you put him in your fantasy lineup. You've obviously made do the past 2 weeks without him. I think I said something similar last week. And he's been practicing in full. Wednesday, Thursday, he's full participant in practice, which gives me hope that he'll be back to his form at least by week 5, maybe week 4. I mean, I'm happy if I drafted him, Dobbins, because none of the other running backs in this offense, besides, you know, Lamar Jackson's rushing ability, have really shown out. Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis haven't really done much. And one thing to note, of course, with Duvernay, he's in danger of missing week 3. Just saw that news just a few minutes ago. He was limited in practice Thursday, didn't practice Wednesday. He has a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol. So
DeMarcus Robinson.
DeMarcus Robinson season, maybe a
don't start.
Maybe a 15 team. I know people 20 team leagues. Maybe you got to get DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, right. If you're in a 20 team league, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you already have.
I mean, I feel like that actually be fun though.
It'd be fun, but then you have guys like
Then you're pumped about DeMarcus Robinson at wide receiver too.
Yeah, you learn about new players you never knew about. So maybe there's that. But for the Ravens, the must start guys are guys, you know, Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, and I think I would put Rashad Bateman as a must start option for me. Patriots are not that exciting of an offense this season. Something that many people expected. I think Mac Jones has not been able to lead an exciting offense, and the annoying thing for me is that a running back hasn't really emerged from this backfield. Damien Harris had a very solid game. He got a touchdown, got in the end zone, and had 71 receiving yards. Also, 2 catches of 16 yards there. So that's good for Harris, but only on the field for 40% of the snaps. Damien Harris, I would put as a flex option here with that snap share. I don't think he's anything more at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, of the snaps that he was on the field, 15 carries. So that part is encouraging to me. I still think he's probably ahead of Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I mean, do you really want that much to do with this Patriots offense? Outside of this, the answer is no. But even Ramondre, I mean, he's not inherently a starter himself, but he is taking away some of the work in this offense that he's taking away from Harris. So I'm the Harris guy. I just traded for him, actually, in one of my leagues this week. So I'm kind of on board him getting some goal line work, I think. You know, he got a rushing touchdown a week ago. So I'm a fan of Harris headed into this week.
Yeah, I think of the two backs, he's the guy you want to start, of course. This is going to be a backfield that gives fantasy managers headaches throughout the entire season. And Damian Harris did go down holding his knee at the end of this game against Pittsburgh, but he should be fine, full participant in practice for this week. So if you're going to start one of them, you're starting Harris. Rhamondre Stevenson, is he still a breakout candidate for me? I think so. I think he's still a breakout candidate for me. I think it's just delayed a few weeks. Passing options on this New England team, Jacoby Myers is the top dog, but he's missed two straight practices with a knee injury, which could open the door for Nelson Agholor, the man with the hands, as they call him, to have another solid game here. Agholor had over 100 yards and a touchdown on 6 catches last week. If Myers sits, are you plugging Agholor into your fantasy lineups? No questions asked.
Many questions asked about why you asked this question. No, don't start Nelson Agholor. Please, really? For your own sake. I mean, like, you really will start Nelson Agholor. I know he had 110 yards last week, whatever, but 5 and 6 targets in the first 2 weeks. This is an offense that I just don't want a part of. I know he had a good week, whatever, but, like, come on. I'm not buying it. His snaps still trailed Devontae Parker and Myers.
Devontae Parker has 1 catch through 2 games, though.
But if his snaps are below him, I mean, like, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I guess he's the best, like, big receiving threat for this team. I mean, who else is there?
It should be Parker, but it just inexplicably isn't.
Parker's whole career is about him should be something that he isn't.
Parker is 3 inches taller and like 30 pounds heavier than Agholor and is not being targeted at the same clip down the field.
Stay away from the wide receiver.
I'm going to be honest here. I think if Myers sits, I think Agholor is going to hit this week. I'm fine with starting him as
over under 12.5 fantasy points.
That's a lot of fantasy points.
But if you think it's under, then you cannot start him.
No, not necessarily. You could expect a 6 for 60 game and be happy with that, I think.
Okay, 11.5.
I'm going over. I don't think Agholor's going to put up 23 again. I think totally in the cards, 5 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown for Nelson Agholor. All right, if Jacoby Myers sits, we're going
to... All right, if Jacoby Myers sits, we will return to you on Tuesday with over under 11.5. You know, I'm making 12.5. I'm not adjusting the line.
All right.
I'm not adjusting the line because you said you were... No, we're 12.5.
All right, fair enough. I'm sticking with my guns here. Jacoby Myers commanded 13
Colin
targets.
Colin right now has the 1-0 lead on the season.
Yeah, we're going to do this every
weekly,
week. We're not going to plan this beforehand. We're just going to see whatever happens whenever we disagree.
Hey, you know, it's natural.
But Jacoby Myers commanded 13 targets last week. Those targets have to go somewhere if he sits, and I think Nelson Agholor is a guy that could benefit there. That does it for that matchup. We're gonna try to get through the rest of these matchups a little more quickly than
we gotta be better speed rush.
We're gonna speed run the rest of these. Next matchup here, let me pull it up, is the Cincinnati Bengals and the New York Jets for Week 3. Jets. I like Joe Flacco this week, if we're being honest.
No. I knew you were gonna say this. What? No, you don't actually like. I mean, like, if you're in the 18 team league or like 14 team super flex league, I mean, like,
he threw for 4 touchdowns last week.
No, I know he threw for 4 touchdowns this week, and I understand that between the two games, he's like 5th in the league in passing yards, and he got
and 1st in the league in passing attempts.
Yeah, but I mean, passing attempts. Well, yeah, that one game with like 59 passing attempts.
Yeah,
but like, realistically, this season, how many quarterbacks this week that are, you know, starting quarterbacks are you starting behind Joe Flacco? I mean, there's some obvious ones, you know, Justin Fields, Davis Mills, Geno, Trubisky, he played yesterday, I mean, Brissett, but like...
He also played yesterday,
that is true. But like, beyond that tier of quarterback, you're really starting Joe... I mean, like, I understand this thing, you know, he's gotten a lot of attempts, and like Garrett Wilson, we talked about him the other day, summer's been a little bit more exciting. But I just don't think when you look at this Jets team right now, aside from Wilson, he was really impressive. The running backs, they're in that kind of weird timeshare, sort of like Miami. We need a couple more weeks to sort of figure that out. I just think I'm not attaching myself to the Jets this week.
Yeah, I mean, Flacco is a super flex quarterback, a 2 quarterback, lead quarterback. To answer your question, I probably like him over Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Mac Jones, Davis Mills, Baker Mayfield. I mean, there's guys he's above, but of course there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. He's probably in the bottom 10 of those starting quarterbacks.
Okay, I just need to make sure that we weren't like going anywhere crazy.
I'm not starting him over Josh Allen. I'm not starting him over my boy Carson Wentz. There's value there for a guy you probably was free in drafts, of course, and you could pick him up off waivers in a 2 quarterback league. Garrett Wilson here, the rookie wide receiver, had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the game winner last week. With Joe Flacco still in command of the offense, I think Garrett Wilson is a fine flex play for me.
I agree.
I think Elijah Moore is still sitting on your bench until Zach Wilson comes back, and we see if Zach Wilson and Elijah Moore can continue their connection. Running back-wise, I'm fine with starting both Michael Carter and Breece Hall.
You start. But I mean, they are ranked both in the top 25 so far in the first 2 weeks. But, of course, it's really early in the season to draw too many conclusions. I think with Breece Hall, I still don't know if I would start him. I mean, I still think he's clearly been number two in this offense.
He's clearly more explosive. He is clearly more explosive. He's been breaking off big plays. He's scored the touchdowns that Michael Carter hasn't. Even operating in that 1B role to Carter, he's going to take it over at some point. He just looks like the better.
But I wouldn't gamble on the takeover happening by starting him in my lineup. I'd wait for that to happen. So I don't think I would start him. I would start Carter this week as an RB2 flex play. But I think for me, you still got to wait on Breece Hall. It's just too early.
Yeah, the snap share, I'm just looking at it now, is lower than I thought. I thought he was around 45, 50. He was at 27%. So I'm actually going to shift to agree with you there. I think Breece Hall, you got to wait it out as well. Maddie's conservative fantasy playing is starting to get to me a little bit here.
Good.
As we record our Week 3 preview podcast. Other than that, Bengals options. We mentioned the Bengals. They looked horrendous last week. They lost. Who did they lose to last week?
Last week, the Bengals.
Oh, the Cooper Rush. They lost to Cooper Rush last week. And for the Bengals, you're starting Mixon. You're starting Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Joe Burrow here is interesting to me. I think you still got to roll with him against the Jets in Week 3.
Yeah, I mean, he's still QB11 on the season, despite it feeling like a kind of disappointing first couple weeks.
I mean, QB11 includes like a 23-point performance in Week 1 where he turned the ball over like 7 times. Like, fantasy points-wise, he was okay because he ended up throwing for, like, over 300 yards. But he still turned the ball over to the Steelers, like, 4 or 5 times. So
yeah, but I think he's, you know, obviously 199 yards yesterday wasn't exactly, you know, last week wasn't the best performance. But, yeah, I think you can start him again. I think this offense is going to pick it up. The offensive line is really the issue, is that he's running for his life. We talk about Mixon the other day. I mean, he's getting crushed in the backfield, even though he's getting a ton of carries. It doesn't even matter because he's just getting met. So the offensive line is the issue, but I think that they're going to pick it up this is in the coming weeks. Is that offensive line, they got a couple new pieces. As that meshes, Burrow gets more time, he's going to be more effective. I think you could still start him fine.
All right, and that concludes Bengals Jets. Next matchup here, we got the Raiders and the Titans. 2-0-2 teams, that one of which, of course, will go 0-3. Two teams that probably have pretty high expectations.
It's a huge game.
Season.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be a season defining game. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's basically no history of 0-3 teams going to make the playoffs. And of course, the Raiders had incredibly high expectations. Darren Waller in your starting lineup, Derek Carr in your starting lineup. I actually really like Josh Jacobs. Tennessee defense giving up a lot of production to the running back position. Of course, the Bills didn't really do that, but the Bills were just shelling them through the air anyway. I like Josh Jacobs this week. The threat of workload issues with Amir Abdullah and Zamir White has kind of gone out the window for Jacobs. He's the clear-cut lead back there. And Devontae Adams, of course, in your lineup, Hunter Renfrow is on the bench for me this week.
So let's talk about Jacobs here for a second. I mean, I think one of the issues with him is that the amount of targets that he's getting is not what you wanted to see. Obviously,
but
in the past,
did we expect a lot of targets?
No. It wasn't that you were expecting a lot, per se. But in a new offense with a new coach, new scheme, whatever, you didn't know if maybe there would be an adjustment there. Maybe he would get more action. But he gets just 2 targets, which is pretty disappointing. You look at the other running backs, Bolden also 2 targets, Abdullah 2 targets, Jacob Johnson with 1 target. I'm not going to lie, I'm not a Jacob Johnson. I'm not a huge expert on him. But the target share kind of being spread around a little bit, he's not getting all the work on passing downs. To me, that's a little bit of a concern in terms of just kind of limiting what his floor is on a week-by-week basis. But I do think that he still is a solid play. You know, there was a little bit I think he had an illness this week, but it looks like he's now practiced fully. And you mentioned 19 carries against Arizona. I think that Tennessee this week, it's a good matchup. This is a huge game. And for Tennessee, you mentioned Treylon Burks as a guy that you would start this week. Is that like, where are we coming from on that?
Well, I said start over Adam Thielen.
Oh, okay.
He's a guy that the snap share has been steadily ticking up, 37 snaps to 45% of the snaps. I think they'll probably get over 50% this week. He's a full participant in practice after being limited with an ankle injury. And he's a guy that really should be the A.J. Brown of this offense. Obviously, no one can.
Man, he comes in with tough expectations to just, like, he'd be expected be the to AJ, be the one-for-one.
Right. The thing is here, I think that this offense is going to go back to how they were successful through the air, which is using play action, hitting that big body wide receiver in the middle of the field, which is what A.J. Brown did last year, which is what Treylon Burks should be doing this year. And, I mean, for a guy 6'2", 225, he is really fast. He caught a short drag crossing route and took it 16 yards on a 3rd and 16 last week and flashed that speed. I think this could be the breakout week for Treylon Burks. But the stipulation was I would start him over Adam Thielen. Of course, I like Drake London a lot more. I like Garrett Wilson a lot more. I like Chris Olave and his 300-plus air yards last week a lot more. And I think the rookie wide receiver class is really showing out. This year, Treylon Burks has to keep up with his rookie class teammates there, or rookie classmates there, I should say. But I think he's probably going to get over 12 fantasy points this week.
Interesting. I mean, you had offensive coordinator Todd Downing said this week that he's been growing every week. You gotta like to hear that, but I don't think at this point you can really start him yet. I mean, have him on your bench, but I still want to see another. I know I keep saying don't start people. Like you, I know you have to start someone, but to me, this is not really this is a very risky play if you're starting him, just because I feel like I could foresee, you know, he's had 11 targets between these two games. I could foresee it not going too well in a week, just because there's not a huge body of work yet out on Burks.
Yeah, of course, Derrick Henry in your line about. I would stay.
I think bounce back week for Henry, by the way. That's one of my predictions. I think 25 plus for Henry this week.
I think the Titans, after getting bludgeoned by the Bills, they got to go back to their identity, which is moving the ball through Derrick Henry and, of course, getting the passing game working off of Derrick Henry as they were so successful in doing in the past. And next game on the slate, kind of a boring game here for fantasy, at least, Saints and Panthers. If Alvin Kamara's back, it's a matchup between two high-tier running backs. But McCaffrey in your lineup, of course. And DJ Moore finally caught a touchdown, 3 catches, 43 yards. And the score, for me, I think I'm still rolling with him, unless I have, like, I don't know, a Michael Thomas that I've drafted late that I can put in over him. I would like over DJ Moore. But, I mean, the draft pedigree of DJ Moore, he probably took him in, what, the third or fourth round, so.
So are you starting Olave here? I think you can. I really think, like, Olave, him in the season, we said in the preseason that this was by far the most, you know, ready-made rookie. But 13 targets last week. I mean, like, you didn't see that part coming, because at Ohio State, what he was so good at is he was an incredible route runner and he was a deep threat. And 13 targets is just not what I foresaw. But for him to be able to get that, I know he only reels in 5 of them, but for him to get that, I do think that, you know, he led yardage. You mentioned the air yards. I mean, these are not just, like, small targets. This was pretty impressive stuff. He, you know, showed off some ability to get in the end zone. I think, like, this could be a legitimate start this week.
Yeah, I think Olave, like I said, 300-plus air yards led all wide receivers, and that comes from the 13 targets. And the 5 catches is not something you want to see, but he's being targeted down the field. Jameis Winston is trying to push the ball down the field to Olave. It only connected a few times in week 2, but, you know, he's getting those high-value targets, and that's what you want to see. I think the breakout is going to come once he gets into the end zone, right? He did lose a fumble in week 2, not a great look for a rookie, but I think Olave, compare him to Treylon Burks, Olave's at 75% of the snaps, Treylon Burks is down under 50%, so there is
Olave's being used as a full-time legit.
There's a clear discrepancy in how they're viewed in their respective offenses, right? Olave is viewed as, like, a guy that they can lean on and trust through the air, and Jameis Winston, I mean, he threw 40 times, 13 of those were to a rookie wide receiver in Chris Olave. Jameis Winston, I'd like to not start this week. Winston has an issue with his back. He has 4 fractures in his back that he's been playing through. The accuracy hasn't really been there for Winston. The fantasy production hasn't really been there either. He threw 3 picks.
I drafted him in a couple of my leagues as, like, a high upside backup quarterback.
I drafted him in a Superflex league as a high upside QB2. So
it hasn't quite worked yet. But I still think, you know, you gotta put the faith there. If Olave is this legit guy, Landry's looked pretty good. You have Michael Thomas, who, I mean, certainly in week one he wowed.
And week two, he
was pretty good. So I think overall I'm feeling good about this Saints offense. Better than I thought I was gonna feel.
Better than you thought. I think no one saw Chris Olave's breakout coming this soon.
We had thoughts of it, but 13 targets. I mean, yeah.
I mean, the air yards is what I'm going to keep coming back to, because 300 in 1 week is just insane.
I mean, it's crazy.
And in the Saints offense passing game, Jarvis Landry, only 7 for 114 was clearly a red herring there. Jarvis Landry's never been a guy averaging over 12 yards per catch. He had 16 yards for catching this one. It's never really been.
If you traded him after last week, though, I mean, like, congrats.
Yeah, I mean, 4 catches, 25 yards. That's probably where we're going to see with Landry.
He's not startable.
No, not really in this matchup against the Panthers. You're starting. If you have Winston in a 2QB league, I would start him. I like Tua over Winston this week, for sure.
I agree.
Going forward, of course, McCaffrey, you're starting. Let me get a quick update on Alvin Kamara real quick. Not 100% sure on his status. He was limited again on Thursday with that ribs injury he suffered in week one, so he's still questionable. I feel like if he gets back in the lineup, I think this entire Saints offense is going to take a step forward. I think Alvin Kamara's presence on the field helps out everyone around him.
Yep, I agree with that. I think Kamara's been really good, and obviously it's a boon to the entire team.
Yeah, stay updated on Kamara's practice reports for Friday. If he upgrades to full participant, I think he's going to be in. If he's still limited, it'll be, you know, we'll see what happens. Speed running through the rest of these matchups. Still got a lot to talk about.
I mean, you better blaze.
Eagles, Commanders, Wentz in my lineup. Terry McLaurin is
down. Is Jahan Dotson in your lineup?
If I have Jahan Dotson, I picked him up. Like I said, I want Curtis Samuel over Dotson in week three again.
No, okay. I'm gonna concede to the folks out there, guys. You hear me say no. I would probably take Samuel over Dotson, but I do think Dotson. I mean, like, I don't actually know if he's really startable this week. Can you feed three mouths in this offense?
And they then, have
you know,
so far. I mean, and McLaurin has kind of been the afterthought.
Yeah, he really has been.
His fantasy day was saved with like a really long catch at the end of the game against
Dotson
the Lions
led the
last
team
week.
In routes run.
Yeah, Dotson has really impressed the coaching staff. I mean, as a rookie leading team in routes run, getting all the touchdowns he's got, he's looked really good. And in this Commanders offense, I think you're still starting McLaurin. He's got the talent to start. Gibson's in your lineup. I like Carson Wentz this week as well. For the Eagles, Jalen Hurts is locked in as a top five quarterback for me. AJ Brown in your lineup. Miles Sanders is a boom play for me. I think he's going to finish inside the top 15 at position this week. And Dallas Goedert in your lineup as well. Maddie, any extra thoughts about this game you want to go before we move on and you know, get moving here?
No, I think Devonta Smith, we talked about the first week.
I think we can start Devonta Smith this week.
Because he did get – I mean, he got some receptions. He pulled in all of his targets. That's pretty much – that's the type of game that you want to see from him.
And you really liked what you saw from Jalen Hurts, hitting the open receiver, spreading the ball around like he did. I think he looked incredible in week two against the Vikings. Chiefs at Colts. I think the only Colts that you're starting are Jonathan Taylor and perhaps Michael Pittman if he is back from injury. Let's check on that status now. He had that quad injury, logged a limited practice on Thursday. So if he can log some more practice on Friday, if he can get up to full he plays, he's obviously in your lineup. Matt Ryan, no shot for me. For the Chiefs, it's Mahomes, Kelce, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me. I don't want to take any gamble on the Chiefs' wide receiver options outside of Travis Kelce.
I agree. I mean, I think we came into the season thinking, you know, maybe some juju, there was some high upside, or someone could take over. But so far, I think, you know, it's clear that there's not really anyone that confident. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is someone that I will confess to, in one of my leagues, I sold high on him this week.
I like the move.
I don't think that he's the RB5 through 2 weeks.
He's not
going to
sustain
that. That is the phoniest RB5, one of the phoniest ones I have maybe ever seen through the first 2 weeks. If you have him, I mean, yeah, okay, you start him. But there's a genuine concern to me that he got single-digit carries in both these games, goal line work going to Jerick McKinnon. It seems like anytime Edwards-Helaire has like even a kind of a big play, he gets subbed out for a breather the following play. This is a frustrating player to watch. And while it feels like, yeah, there is upside in this Chiefs offense between McKinnon and the other options behind him, Isaiah Pacheco, like, I would not feel confident. I mean, I feel confident starting him, but like,
rest of season value.
Rest of season value for me, despite him overperforming expectations in the first 2 weeks, my rest of season value for him has gone down.
Yeah, I think sell high on CEH is the perfect move here. I probably overstep in saying he's not even an RB2 going forward. That's what I said last week. I think he's an RB2 this week. Next matchup here is probably the most boring matchup, even though I said Saints-Panthers was boring. This one, Texans-Bears. You're not starting any Bears. None. Perhaps the Bears defense if you're desperate, but Justin Fields, no. Darnell Mooney, no. Cole Kmet, no. For the Texans, it's Brandon Cooks and Damian Pierce for me. I like the usage I saw from Damian Pierce last week. Truly overshadowed Rex Burkhead. Got over, that's what we want to say. I believe he got around 14, 15 carries. Did Damian Pierce? He
yeah, looked, 15.
15 carries. He looked good. He looked like the better back in that offense. And Brandon Cooks is locked in your lineup every week. But a boring matchup for fantasy.
Yeah, no one's getting too excited over this game in fantasy or real life.
Or real life. Maybe Bears fans. If there are, there are Bears fans out there, I'm sure.
There are many Bears fans. Yeah. They're just sad.
Just sad. Mm-hmm. Next matchup, getting into the 4 p.m. slate, Jaguars at Chargers. For the Chargers, Justin Herbert has been logging limited practices after sustaining that ribs injury that he miraculously played through last Thursday Night Football. But he has a fracture in his rib cartilage, considered day-to-day. That's something we really need to keep our eyes on for Friday's injury report. I think if he's in, you're of course, starting all of your Chargers weapons.
10 targets for Eckler last week.
Yeah, I think Eckler is locked in your lineup. Keenan Allen as well, another limited practice session. So there's a lot here that could move and shift around if Keenan Allen sits, if Justin Herbert sits. But Keenan Allen, I think he's not going to play week 3. I think he's pretty far away from getting the green light there. That hamstring injury, he's told reporters that it's something he's going to have to deal with for a while. So Keenan Allen, if he sits, Gerald Everett is locked in as a top 10 tight end for me. And of course, Austin Eckler is in fantasy lineups. Any interest in DeAndre Carter or Joshua Palmer in week 3, Maddie?
No. I mean, DeAndre Carter, there's not enough targets for him in this offense. Like, between the weapons that they do have, and then we already talked about Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, if he's healthy, Austin Eckler getting 9 receptions and 10 targets last week. There's just not enough for either of those guys. I know, like, it is tempting because I feel like when you watch the game, it always feels like Palmer is, like, doing something big. Like, always, like, involved in the games. But I don't think there's enough there to make him be fantasy relevant.
Yeah, of the two, I would rather have Joshua Palmer in my lineup if I was starting
without
one
Keenan
of them.
Without Keenan Allen, yeah.
Yeah, without Keenan Allen, I'm expecting Allen to sit this week. I'm not a doctor, so, you know, don't take my word as gospel on that one. DeAndre Carter, 3 catches, 55 yards. Palmer had 8 targets, though, and caught that touchdown. So if I had to start one, it would be Palmer, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams in your lineups. For the Jaguars, I mean, you're starting Christian Kirk for sure, but are you starting either of the backfield mates here, James Robinson or Travis Etienne, against a pretty solid Chargers defense? A solid defensive front, at least, for the Chargers.
Certainly not Etienne.
No, yeah.
I mean, Robinson, I think I think you are starting Robinson. I mean, like, if you had Robinson, I mean, he's got the vast majority of the carries. I mean, who said coming into the season that week 2, James Robinson, 23 carries with a healthy ETN? I mean, no one really could have foreseen that coming. So he's found the end zone in both of his games. And while, you know, ETN is still kind of around, you know, he's in the mix. Ultimately, I think the receiving work's been pretty even, and then the rushing work's been a wide discrepancy. So for me, I think you can start James Robinson this week. Feel good about starting him. It's probably an RB2. And then ETN is a no-go.
I think the only thing that can work against Robinson is game script here. I think with a healthy Justin Herbert, I think the Chargers are far and away the best team in this matchup. So James Robinson is not going to get 23 carries because the Jaguars aren't going to dominate the Chargers like they dominated the Colts. But I think I would be okay starting James Robinson this week. ETN's still sitting on my bench. I'm not giving up on him just yet. He was one of my big breakout picks. Next match up here is the Rams and the Cardinals. Kyler Murray in your lineup. Marquise Brown, Zach Ertz in. James Conner's injury is a little bit of a concern for me. He had that ankle injury, I believe, but he's logged back-to-back limited practices. If he's off the field, I think it's going to be Darrell Williams over Eno Benjamin. the snap shares favored Williams.
Do you feel confident starting either of them, though?
I think Williams over Benjamin. Confident is a tricky word. I think I would be okay with starting them if I had to. Because Williams was on the field in third down, higher percentage, and on goal line, higher percentage. And third down is where we thought, you know, Benjamin would slot in. So I like Darrell Williams. He's shown to be successful with the Chiefs in the past. But if Connor's in, you're starting him as well. Any interest in Greg Dortch, Maddie?
Dortch, you know, I know Greg Dortch. You know, I know he listens to the show. We're a big fan of Greg Dortch here, friend of the pod. But no, I don't think you could actually start Greg Dortch. I mean, like, it is fun, but he held four targets last week. And, I mean, yeah, he's taken advantage of the fact that the Cardinals' receiving core has been no DeAndre Hopkins with a suspension. Rondell Moore has been out with an injury. So because of that, it's provided Greg Dortch some time to slide into a higher role. He's second in the team's targets and second in offensive snaps through the first 2 weeks. But again, that's like very circumstantial. I'm not starting Greg Dortch.
Yeah, I think this could be another game where the Cardinals' offensive line just gets absolutely demolished. If you watch any snaps of the Raiders game against the Cardinals, Kyler Murray was running for his life. And Aaron, now they got to deal with Aaron Donald on the interior. So I think this Cardinals matchup could get to be a little bit out of hand when dealing with Aaron Donald. For the Rams, I think, of course, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford in fantasy lineups. Running back-wise, I was a big Daryl Henderson guy going into last week.
I think neither.
But then Cam Akers burst on the scene. I think you're benching both of them as well.
I don't play either of them.
Yeah, I think if you have Akers, you're holding on to him, of course. You probably invested high draft capital in him. But other than that, for the backfield, you probably want to wait and see how it shakes out. Allen Robinson, I think you're still starting him. Four catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown. He had another touchdown that was called back because of the referee or the judge on the sideline saw an injury on the field, which called back.
Oh my God!
Robinson's second touchdown of the game. Fantasy managers were gnashing their teeth about that one. He could see a lot of Brian Murphy here for the Cardinals. A lot of shadow coverage, and I think Cooper Kupp's going to be the guy Stafford keys in on, as he so often does. But I think I'm cool starting Robinson as a wide receiver too.
I agree. I think that there's still encouraging signs for him. I mean, Cooper Kupp, is he going to get 15 targets a game? I mean,
we asked that question after week one, then he followed up with, 13 in week two?
I just feel like there's got to be a breaking point there. Where sometime, and Robinson clearly is the next one up in line. The five receptions last week, he was targeted, obviously getting that one-yard touchdown reception. So, I don't know. I feel pretty good about starting Robinson this week in my flex.
Next matchup here, Falcons at Seattle Seahawks. I think this is a big squeaky wheel game for Kyle Pitts. Arthur Smith obviously said to reporters, this isn't fantasy football, we're just trying to win. Well, they're not winning, and giving Kyle Pitts the ball, you know, should be a way to get some W's in the books. I think Kyle Pitts is going to go off in this week. I have him in so many leagues. I'm praying, I'm hoping, I'm knocking on wood here for Kyle Pitts. Other than that, for the Falcons, I think you can start Cordarrelle Patterson this week. The Seattle Seahawks defense has given up 145 rush yards per game the past two games, number 25 in the NFL.
Yeah. Sort of a regression last week for Patterson to where we kind of thought. I think the week one performance was just like kind of insane. 22. The fact that now he's getting 22 carries.
You were clowning me for saying he was a sell high, and then he comes in week two and does this. I mean,
I was still thinking, you know, he had like 10 carries. One target is really the issue. Yeah.
Tyler Allgeier was.
Yeah, they pretty much split carries.
Yeah, and Allgeier wasn't on the field in week one because he was a healthy scratch, and then the Damian Williams injury cropped up. So Patterson, I like this week just because of the matchup, but I think you got to temper expectations for the rest of the season. And of course, I really like Drake London. Going forward, rest season, he's in my lineup for sure this week. Next matchup here, probably the premier matchup that everyone is looking at is Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, Green Bay at Tampa Bay. Does Tom Brady have any weapons? Julio Jones is probably out. Mike Evans is suspended for, you know, doing whatever he was doing in week two to Marshawn Lattimore, probably the most on-site rivalry in the NFL right now. I think 100% the most on-site rivalry in the NFL. Brady is a guy that I don't love the idea of starting this week. He's been very disappointing so far. He's also dealing with a finger injury, full participant in practice on Thursday, but, you know, shaking his right hand after making a few throws at New Orleans last week. Brady's a guy I'm trying to find other options. I like Carson Wentz over him. I like Tua over him. Do I like Jared Goff over him? That's an interesting question that we could get into, that we won't get into in this podcast. But I do like Jared Goff this week. You're starting Leonard Fournette, of course. And for the Packers, you're starting Aaron Rodgers, A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, and no wide receivers.
Yeah, let's go back to Tampa for 1 second. Julio might not play either. He was not a participant in practice on Thursday. In the scenario where there's no Mike Evans, there's no Chris Godwin, there's no Julio, Rashad Perriman resurgence?
I mean, he did catch a touchdown last week.
He's a big play guy, I know, but, you know, is he the number one guy? Could he start him?
He also practiced in a limited capacity this past practice on Thursday.
Scotty Miller, the only one off the injury.
Scotty Miller, Russell Gage, and if they activate Cole Beasley off the practice squad, who was a recent signing by the Bucks, that's who Tom Brady's going to be working with. But if Perriman's healthy, I think he's a dart throw here in DFS.
Could you start Beasley? Like, in this scenario.
In this scenario, in this first week with the team, no.
Truly have no receivers. No. So, Perriman's rostered in 4% of ESPN leagues. So, is there a world where you could do that? You're not feeling it.
I'm not really feeling it. I think Perriman is a DFS play. Right. I don't think he is a good option in weekly lineups. Next matchup here, we're going to really, really speed run through these last three. We talked Falcons, Seahawks now. Niners, Broncos is Sunday Night Football. Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback for the Niners. I think you're starting Debo. George Kittle's logging limited practices. If he's on the field, you're starting him. Jeff Wilson Jr., you're starting as well. Brandon Ayuk, a little bit of an issue for me. I think I'm okay with starting Ayuk in week three.
Interesting. Now, you were not a fan of me saying that I liked Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think you said you liked him over Tua rest of season. And I don't agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, I think there might be some overreaction to how good Tua was last week. Garoppolo's a proven guy that, like, last season he averaged, like, 16 points a game. That's what we saw him get last week. I just think there's some reliability there.
Yeah, he's reliable in the terms of, what, 15 to 20 points a game? Yeah,
yes.
That's fine. Okay, whatever. Tua Tagovailoa just looked incredibly dynamic. For the Broncos, I'd like to sit Russell Wilson against this Niners defense if I can. Cortland Sutton is in my lineup, of course. Jerry Judy's shoulder injury not believed to be as serious as we originally thought. He hasn't practiced, though, this week. So if he's not on the field, Sutton takes a huge step up here. But other than that, I don't want any of the tight ends in this matchup. I don't want KJ Hamler in this matchup without Jerry Judy.
The question about Javonte Williams for me is, was that week one target share an outlier? Because the 11 receptions he got in week one was truly something that, like, we could not have foreseen happening. But he only got one reception last week.
He still got four targets. He's being utilized in the passing game more than Melvin Gordon.
Yes.
I say Williams is a high-end running back two this week, probably in the 15 to 12 range at the position. He's looked like the better back than Melvin Gordon has. He's looked more explosive, over five yards a carry on average in weeks one and two. He's a guy I really, really want to have. I wish I had more of him in fantasy.
I just made a trade for him this week.
Was that the CEH trade?
Yes. I offloaded, the listeners at home can evaluate what they think of this trade. I offloaded CEH, the trade was CEH. It was A.J. Dillon, and then, you're not a fan of this trade.
If it's just for Javonte.
No, it wasn't just for it. It was not just for Javonte. Hold up, I'm going to pull it up for complete accuracy.
The speed run is not working here,
It was
guys.
A big trade. All right, you know what? If we don't get to the Monday night game, then I'm sorry. You'll have to set your Monday night lineups without our assistance.
While Maddie's looking for this, I'll just go over Monday night. Cowboys, yes. Giants, Saquon's in your lineup. I like Noah Brown with Cooper Rush, to be honest. I think Noah Brown and CeeDee Lamb are both low-end wide receiver two. For CeeDee Lamb, low-end wide receiver two. Noah Brown, low-end wide receiver three. For the Giants, I don't want any receiving option in this game. It's just Saquon for me. Maddie's still trying to find that trade. I'll talk a little bit more about the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott, not great in a week. Two was clearly overshadowed by Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard had a huge catch run, went down onto one, punched it in from the 1 yard line. And now Maddie's got that trade. Let's see if
he all right, let's see, Colin, what you think of this trade. I traded away A.J. Dillon, C.E.H., and Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
And I got Javonte Williams, Hunter Renfrow, and Damian Harris.
You got the best player in the deal. I think Hunter Renfrow is probably like a nobody going forward.
I feel like this trade is banking on Renfrow being like a flex.
I think if Javonte Williams like goes and does what I think he can do, I think this is a win for you. But A.J. Dillon is someone I really like. So
it's tough to part with him.
Yeah, I think this is probably like a like an even trade. Of course, I like making one sided trades.
I think it's a pretty fair. It's like a solidly fair trade.
Yeah, and I mean, you got the best player in the deal. That's always what you're looking for, and selling high on CEH is always good. But that's gonna do it for this episode of the Fantasy Financiers podcast. Maddie's got to go out and live his life, so we're gonna say goodbye
to him. If you see me on the streets, autographs. I don't charge for the first autograph.
Charge
if
for
you
the
want
second
multiple
one,
things
yeah.
signed, then we can talk.
Yeah. But I've been Colin Kapoor, joined by Maddie Wasserman. We'll be back next week to recap all of the Week 3 NFL action. Good luck, everyone, in setting your lineups. Hopefully, all of you get victories in fantasy. For Maddie, I've been Colin. See you next week. Bye.